the rest of us, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 16? Romans chapter 16, we're going to read verses 25 through 27. Be ready, we're going to read a lot of scripture this morning. While you're turning there, one of the real frustrations at Christmas time I can remember was receiving a great new toy only to see the words on the box, "Batteries not included." Very frustrating for a kid, you know. An adult too, actually. Listen, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. And sometimes that's not even true anymore, but it used to be that we would say that. All that fun's put on hold, and as we wait for a power source. As we approach Christmas, we should be reminded that God is the power source of our lives. Paul tells us three things about the power of Christ as he concludes the book of Romans. By the way, my wife, you know, she has solved that problem of not having a power source when it comes to batteries. A few years ago, she started putting together bags for each one of the of our kids. They have their own families. But she started putting bags together of necessities. Well, within those necessities is AA batteries, AAA batteries, 9 volts, D cells. You know what I'm talking about. The first year she did that, their faces lit up. It's like, wow, this is great. Do this every year. So she does it every year now, so that they have the power source for everything that they need them for. So that's the way that is. Now, let's read Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you ever notice that God speaks in long sentences? That was one sentence. And there's other ones that are longer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you for all that you have done for your creation. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we delve into your word this morning, that, Lord, you would just hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that, Lord, you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, and all of it that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as I said earlier, Paul tells us three things that the power of Christ, about the power of Christ as he concludes the book of Romans. The first thing he shows us is Jesus has the power to save. Jesus has the power to save. Christmas reminds us how much God loves everyone. In John 3:16, he reminds us of the extreme God was willing to go in order to restore our relationship with him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So, in Genesis, it tells us that God created us in his own image. Adam and Eve chose to break that relationship when they fell to a temptation and took of the fruit. God had created us to live in relationship with him. God wants relationship with all of us, with you and with me. He wants relationship with us. That's why it's so vitally important that we work to nurture that relationship. It's why we need a steady diet of God's Word. You've heard me say this before if you've been around here for a while. If the only word you are getting all week is what you get through me, you are spiritually anemic. Because I can't deliver enough word into you in the time allotment that I have in this service to suffice for the whole week. You guys have got to get into the Word of God, and because it's the Word of God is a reflection of God Himself. It is a revelation of God Himself. So He gave His best. He gave His Son. No one else could die for us in our place. Jesus is the only one that could die for us in His place. And for that to happen, He first had to come to earth, God with skin on, as a little boy said. So God created us to have and live in relationship with Him. Adam and Eve broke that relationship. Isn't that something? That tells us a lot about humanity. The first man and woman that were created screwed it up. And you know what? We can't be too hard on them, because if it had been Wayne and Mary or anybody else, we would have screwed it up too. Because humanity has a sin tendency, and that's why we need Jesus Christ. From the time of Adam and Eve, God has worked to restore that relationship. I find it interesting that today the prophetic word that came through tongue and interpretation is about Him launching a new thing, launching a fresh move of His Spirit. Why? To draw the lost to Himself. He's still working to reconcile people that don't know Him to come back to Him. See, all of us came from Him. Whether you realize that or not, you were knit together in the womb of your mother. I was knit together in the womb of my mother. All of us were knit together in the womb of our mothers, knit together by Him. The Word tells us that He was there when we were knit together in the womb. So, we began with Him. And the desire is that we end with Him for all eternity. Because in not accepting the plan of salvation that God has provided for us, in rejecting Him in that way, then when our life ends on this earth, we will spend an eternity separated from Him. And that is devastating, my friends. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? That's what the Word of God tells us. So it's not that He wants anyone to perish. Christmas reminds us that Jesus came into the world to reconcile the world to God. Came into the world to reconcile the world to God. This plan of reconciliation has been revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come, and He had to live on this earth, sinless. Had He not lived His life sinless on this earth, He would have been disqualified to die for our sins. Am I making sense to you this morning? If He had committed one sin while He was in the flesh on this earth, He would have been disqualified. Sin is what disqualified everyone else, anyone else, anything else for dying for our sins. Couldn't happen. Nothing was qualified but Jesus, the sinless one. So he had to come, live that sinless life. Then he had to die in our place, because what we deserve because of the sin nature that we have is death. That's what we deserve. But he came to take that off of us if we would receive him. Take that off of us. Take on himself that death, which is what he did, and make available to us what he deserved, which is life. But it didn't quit there either. Had Jesus only died for us, it would have been futile. The third stage of it, where he was resurrected from the dead by the power of God, that iced it. And because he rose from the grave as he said he would, then the prophecy that tells us that we too will raise from the grave one day, we know will also come true, because the prophecy about Jesus came true. So we know when it tells us in Thessalonians what's going to happen. That we will come out of the grave one day if we die before Christ's return. I think Christ's return is getting so close that it's possible that some of us might not die before he returns. Now, don't leave here and say, Pastor Wayne says Jesus is going to come before we die. Don't. I said it's possible, because there is prophecy, so much that has been fulfilled, that I believe it is possible. I even believe it's possible in my lifetime, and I'm getting to be a pretty old dude. Where have the years gone, right? But the assurance that we have in Christ gives us peace in the fact that we're growing older and one day we'll taste death. Amen? All right. So, Jesus has the power to save. We've established that, right? Jesus gives us the power to submit also. Because we have to come to the place that we submit to him. He has to be Lord and Savior of our lives. That's his desire, is to become Lord and Savior. That involves submission. Laying down our lives and taking up his cross daily is what it says in the Word of God. So, once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit calls us to obedience. He calls us to submit to the moving of the Holy Spirit, so that we are no longer leading our own lives, but we're seeking after God and receiving our marching orders from him and allowing him to lead our lives through the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. So God calls us not only to believe, but to obey his commands. Oh, gee, I thought the commandments didn't mean anything anymore, Pastor.
Wrong.
Wrong. We still should be striving to be obedient, not because we can be good enough by obeying the commandments to be saved, but because obeying the commandments the best we can is the byproduct of the relationship that we have in Christ. Obedience is the byproduct of that relationship. It should be. So Christmas reminds us of the importance of obedience. What if Jesus, in the middle of that process, decided, you know what? This is too hard. This is going to be too painful. I'm not doing this. See, Jesus had to be obedient. Even unto the cross, it says in the Word of God. He was obedient unto the cross. He was willing to go through all of that. He paid the price. But he then calls us to be obedient as well. Also, Mary chose to obey God. If you'll turn with me to Luke 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 26. I want you to see this. I want you to have this reminder from the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter what Pastor Wayne has to say. What matters is what God has said. Right? Luke 1, we're going to read verse 26 through 38. What we're looking at is the fact that Mary chose to obey God. It was not easy for her. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. "May it be to me as you have said." Obedience. Now you got to understand what she was agreeing to. She was agreeing to being shunned because she was with child without a husband. Okay? So she said, "Be it unto me as you have said." If that's God's will, what she was saying, if that's God's will, then okay. But you got to understand there was a cost with that. And then people are looking at Joseph. "Aha. I know what you've been up to. Come on." These were people too. This isn't a fairy tale. This really happened. You know, I have an uncle that has never received Christ at this point, but he's still alive. I'm still believing. But he said the Bible's just a book full of fairy tales. No, the Bible is not a book full of fairy tales. The Bible is a recording of accurate history and prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy. So it cost Mary to obey God and to submit. But boy, was it worth it. We need to remember that. There is usually a cost for us when we decide we're going to obey God. Usually, God doesn't take us through the easy road. Because in going down the hard road, we grow in Him. When things are easy, we're not growing. We're not growing in our faith when things are easy. When things are hard, we grow. Did you ever go out to the Rocky Mountains? What's up on the Rocky Mountains? Nothing grows up there. But it's in the valleys that things grow. and things are lush. Well, it's in the valleys in our lives that we grow. And the decisions that we make to go through those valleys are the evidence of us growing in Christ. Well, the mountaintops are great. It's beautiful. It's great. Isn't it great being on the mountaintops? We love it. Hey, I do too. I'm not at all putting that down. But what I'm saying is we need to understand that when those hard times come and we're down in the valleys, it's time to be obedient. Moving on. Secondly, Joseph chose to ignore his natural feelings and obey God. You got to think about this from Joseph's side. Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit overshadowed you, Mary, and now you're going to have a baby. All I know is you're with child, and I haven't been with you that way. Right? So he had to deal with some stuff too. It was not an easy road. He had to deal with the backslapping from the other boys saying, How about you? Right? Matthew 1, 18 through 25. I want to look at this in Scripture. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Beginning to read in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Obedience. It was not the easy road, but it was the path that God had for them. Most of the time, the path that God has for us is not the easy road, but it's the path that God has for us, and it's the best path. Thirdly, the shepherds were obedient when told to go to Bethlehem. Now you got to understand, they went quite a journey. You know, and that all sounds really cool, and we've seen all of the skits and all of the plays and all the stuff about this, but I'm just telling you the reality of it is it took some obedience for these guys to take off and journey and follow after a star that led them to the manger where this Savior Jesus was to be laid. Put yourself in that place, man. I mean, it's a fantastic account that we see recorded in the Word of God. And it's absolutely true. But put yourself in these people's place. This was pretty radical. So So the shepherds were obedient to go to Bethlehem. Let's read Luke 2, 8 through 20. Told you we were going to read a lot of scripture. We're getting at least some of the Christmas story today. It's got to happen, you know. It's just got to happen. We need reminded at least once a year about this. Luke 2, verse 8 through 20. Beginning to read. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and unto earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So they were blessed through their obedience to go, to believe what they had been told and act on it. How many times has God impressed things on us, spoken, whispered in our hearts, and we didn't act on it? I know myself, I've blown it several times. One of the times that I blew it was when God had whispered in my heart to go see somebody, and I was too busy. You hear what I'm saying? And that person died before I could get there to see him later. And so I've had to deal with that, all right? Now, I know God forgives me, and that's all under the blood. But I just brought that up because that's one of many times when the unction of the Spirit was there leading me to do something, and I was too busy. Have you ever blown off things? I never got to witness to that person that God had led me to witness to at that point. I blew it. Okay, so see, I'm human too. Pastor's human. These people, the example, they went with it. God led. God spoke. He spoke through angels. He spoke through different things. And they were obedient. Our obedience to God is based on love. It should be. Our obedience to God should be based on love. God's love for us and our love for God. If you've been around here for a while, you've heard me many times say that we need to have a healthy, reverential fear of God. And in my estimation, that is something that has been lacking in the body of Christ for the last at least 50 years. There's been a loss of the reverential fear of God. The fact that he is holy. And I still stand on that. But that alone will never compel people for an extended period of time to strive to obey God. There needs to be a balance of reverential fear for God and a love
for God for the sheer fact of what he has already done for us. If he never did another thing for us, he's already done enough. He has provided a way of salvation. No one and nothing else was ever going to work. The sacrifice of goats and the sacrifice of bulls and rams and all the different things that were sacrificed, birds, all kinds of things under the old covenant that were sacrificed, they weren't good enough. Only one sacrifice would be good enough, and that would be the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. And as I said before, it began by him coming, being birthed, being God with skin on. It had to happen that way. So we need to receive God's love for us and love him back. See, the Word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He didn't say, oh, you go get things straightened out and come back. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He made the first move of a sacrificial love for us. And we should love him back because of that. Third major point is the fact that Jesus gives us the power to stand. You've heard me over the last few years keep encouraging you all. Stand up and speak up. Stand up and speak up. Haven't I? Over and over. You're probably sick of hearing it. Well, you heard it again today and you'll probably hear it again. Because God is calling us to stand up and speak up. Well, Jesus gives us the power to stand. In other words, he establishes us. That means we've got roots. If something is established, it's rooted in, right? So if he gives us the power to stand, then he establishes us as we are rooted in him. We're established in him. Paul discovered over the course of his ministry that life is hard. He testifies about the things that he went through. He was beaten and imprisoned for his faith. Now, I have not been beaten or imprisoned for my faith yet, and I trust nobody here has. But elsewhere in the world, that is happening. In an increasing measure, whether you realize it or not, it's been increasing a lot elsewhere in the world. And people being martyred for their faith. It's increasing elsewhere in the world. And the course that our nation has been on the last couple of decades is heading that direction where it could be here. It's why we need to be praying for our nation and, yes, involved in politics, voting. People that call themselves Christian and say that it's wrong to vote in an election in our nation are absolutely out of their mind and out of balance. God has given us a choice. He has given us choices, and we are responsible for what we do with that opportunity. Had to get that out there, guys. I'm voting Jesus. So, he was beaten and imprisoned for his faith. And look at the price Jesus paid. He was beaten. put to death? Why do we think we deserve better? That's what I don't understand. Why do we Americans think, well, yeah, that happened then and that happens elsewhere, but we deserve better because we're Americans? Wrong! We're Americans, and if we got what we deserve, we would be smoked right now. But by God's grace in Jesus Christ, we have not seen that yet on these shores. And I emphasize yet. And according to what God has spoken to us today, right here in this place, in this little church in Colton, Illinois, a prophetic word about him unleashing a fresh move of his spirit. Praise God. But I like it also that he emphasized that we've got work to do. We need to be ready. Through all the trials, he discovered that God could give him the power to stand. Paul figured it out, man. Power to stand comes from him. Jesus came also to help us stand strong in the trials of life. Jesus came to help us to stand strong in the trials that we have in our lives. Because let's face it, we go through some trials. We do. An untimely loss of a job or someone passing away suddenly. I mean, there's just all kinds of trials that can happen. Problems with kids. Raising kids. Now, I'll tell you something, that can stress you out. I've lived it. Let's turn that around. Problems with parents. Amen. Sometimes parents are a problem, right? We are blessed with a lot of teachers and teachers' aides in this church, whether you guys realize it or not. We have more teachers and teachers' aides in this church than I have ever seen in one church. It's amazing to me. God's up to something doing that. But I want to tell you something. It's a challenge today for teachers, guys. All of you that are teachers and teachers' aides, you know. I'm talking to everybody else right now. It's a challenge today trying to teach children because there are too many parents that refuse to discipline their children. Yeah, I said it. It's a problem. And then send those fair-haired little children off to church to go to Wednesday night ministry or to children's church on Sunday morning, and somebody's got to deal with that. Boy, it's quiet in here. You must not be talking about your fair-haired child. You hear what I'm talking about? God has given us the power to stand. Final scripture, Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. I was just talking about disciplining children. And this passage makes it clear we're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with demons. Now, sometimes dealing with our children, I get it. I think there have been times I've been dealing with demons. How about it? Ephesians 6, beginning to read in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, be rooted. Be rooted in Christ. In Christ we can overcome all of that. But we got to remember, we're not dealing with flesh and blood, but against these principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. You know what we're talking about, right? It's demonic. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Demonic. In the heavenly places, a better translation would be in the arid places. Not talking about evil in heaven. When it's talking about heavenly, it's talking about the arid places. Okay? First couple times I read through the Bible, when I saw that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. What's this evil that established itself in heaven? I don't get this. I thought there was an end to that when the devil and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. I thought that was the end of evil in heaven. Well, it was. So the heavenly places it's mentioning here is the arid places. So Jesus came to do all these things we've talked about today and more, to provide all of these things for us, beginning with, first and foremost, our salvation. What a gift, what a gift, what a gift. But he has also given us, if I might use the term tools, he has also provided for us all of the tools that we need to live out this life successfully in Christ. He's provided all that we need. Amen? Well, hallelujah, Merry Christmas. We got a good God. So stay plugged in. Batteries included, right? Batteries included. Let's stand together. We can. I even got done on time. Hallelujah. We've only got one more Sunday this year. And then I'm not going to preach any more this year. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, I have never made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? I need to do that today. If that speaks to you, step out from where you are. Walk down here. I'll meet you down here. And I'll just agree with you in prayer today that you repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone this morning? All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. We'll see some of you Tuesday night.